This podcast is brought to you by Window Nation. For all your windows, siding, and door needs, make sure you visit windownation.com. Harley and Aaron are absolutely the best. It's the podcast version of Redskins Roundup. You can listen to Clinton's podcast, 26 minutes, on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find podcasts.
Or Cooley's podcast. Or mine.
But most of the time, I just do it with you now. I am pretty much committed to just being your co-host.
We should. That's pretty
good.
That's
what we're doing. I just want to be your co-host.
I want to be your co-host.
And then we'll put it on the... That's fine.
So there we have it.
Teammates.
You can now listen to Cooley and Portis podcast. Hey, we're going to do it together.
Yep. Done. You got to come in on Fridays, though.
I'm traveling on Fridays.
So let me just start with this. There are three states, clearly, and maybe a fourth that are really good in terms of high school football. California, Texas, Florida, and Ohio. Ohio is a very good football state.
Oh, Georgia, Alabama.
Ohio's number four. In terms of pro athletes generated, Ohio's number four.
Ohio
doesn't get
a
lot of credit, but it does have a ton of talent, and there's a ton of talent. For whatever reason, Ohio creates.
If that's the case, I would say Pittsburgh. You look at the area that Ty Law and all those guys
are from. I did this the other day. Because we had someone say Pennsylvania was in the top five. It ain't. Look at professional athletes in the NFL from what state, and Ohio becomes number four. But my point isn't that. My point is, something about Miami smells like football. I got off the plane. I walked around. I'm out there. I know it's really hot in the summer, and it's hard to practice there. Probably not for someone that grew up there. But at least in October, you just feel like football. It feels like football. Am I crazy here?
I think it's just a mindset, man. When you practice,
is it the ocean? Maybe it's the ocean.
It's because
California feels like that same thing to me.
But it's everything about it. It allows you to, you know, when you got distractions and you have to tune them out to stay focused. I think that's the advantage that Florida and California get, because you have all of this accessibility. You see so much. You see so many people come and want to be around. And you got to tune that out. You know, even going to college at the University of Miami, we didn't go out. We didn't go to South Beach. We didn't hang out. It was like guys had to do everything together. We didn't have any money. At that time, Miami was prestigious. So it was just straight like competitiveness. Like, the competition was in everything. So when you get on the field, like you said, it feels like football. It's like, what else am I supposed to be doing?
I just feel like that. You think I didn't have distractions growing up in Wyoming?
Heck no.
Why?
It was either that or go out
bears and
go
lions
out moose
and
hunting,
tigers and moose and all kinds of.
Did you see where a cheetah snatched the dog? That I wanted to send you that last night. A cheetah snatched
the
dog.
Why didn't
you
send it to me,
bro? A leopard. Matter of fact, a leopard snatched the dog
off
his front porch, and I think it was in. Oh, it was in China.
I was
or
gonna
India.
Say, you got all. You got to clean this.
Bro,
story
I was
up.
Sleeping. I was
it
sleeping
was a
trying
cheetah
to watch it.
Or a leopard in China or India.
It was a leopard in India. Walks to the front door. Stands by the dog for quite some time. I'm going to pull this up.
I'm watching it on YouTube right now.
Oh yeah.
This is. It was India.
See. I got CTE. What do you want me to say?
Actually, I want to talk about that for a second.
I want you to see this.
This is not fair, man. This I don't want to watch.
It doesn't stand a chance.
This is not fair. This is like Florida, like a Florida high school team playing against my Wyoming high school team.
You all got a chance.
No, we don't, man.
Yeah, to win the kickoff. No, you all got a chance to decide who receives first.
But we're like Josh Rosen back there throwing screen passes the entire day because we can't get the ball down.
He did not look comfortable. You know what? Fitzmagic. He entered the game and just had this aura. Like, you know what? Last year I threw for 400, 500 yards against this team. I know how to play them. He was comfortable.
Yeah, this is what's amazing about a veteran quarterback or quarterback that knows how to play the game. If you finished that game as a Dolphins fan with Rosen going the entire way, you would have sat back and said, that offensive line is so unbelievably bad that they can't drop their quarterback back five steps and throw the football. They can't protect him. There's no chance. There's no way. And then you get Fitzpatrick in and you say, huh, maybe quarterbacks dictate protection sometimes. Nobody wants to believe that. Since I've been done with football and doing any kind of radio or media, no one wanted to believe that when Robert Griffin dropped back and had to run around because he dropped to 13 yards deep,
it was his fault.
Like, nobody wanted to believe that timing your drop up to throw a certain route is, even on a three-step, might be timing it up a little bit different on another route that's three-step. The quarterbacks really can dictate the protection more than almost anybody else. Now, getting beat at the instant is one thing, because I think, like, we had a couple sacks where Rosen didn't necessarily have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, Hester had a sack where it was an immediate swim move. John Allen had a sack within 1.5 seconds. That's tough.
But when you're holding on to the ball as a quarterback, even Case was in the situation early in the game where he kind of held on to the ball instead of letting it go. And it's like, throw it away, you know. And he was able to escape the pocket and throw the ball away. But you just look at a quarterback like, you know, you're the one that's getting hit. Like, do you know you're the one that's going to get hit if you hold this ball an extra second? I think if you change the approach or you change the coaching tips to a guy, get this off in this amount of time or you're going to be asleep. If you start as an offensive coordinator or head coach to tell players the truth, like, you know what, if you don't get this ball off at this point on your third or fifth step, then you're going to be back here asleep. And it's going to be your fault that you got to take a nap during the game. All right? They'll get the ball out of their hand.
It also may have been the heat factor. You know, Miami Dolphins ran 77 plays. Maybe your defensive line got a little bit tired in the second half of that game.
Well,
that's a tough spot to play, though. If Miami's good for a 1 o'clock game in the early part of the season, that stadium, that sun sets directly
on the opposing
behind
scene.
The opposing side. And you could see the shade creep slowly across the field, and it never got to the Redskins sideline. By the second quarter, the Miami Dolphins were in the shade. The Redskins were never in the shade. You watched Terry McLaurin's interview that we just did on the TV show in Redskins Roundup on NBC Sports Washington. And he has, where his eye black is, he has a suntan. For real. Like, you can see a pierce from 4 hours out in the sun. So maybe there was something to do with that. I will say this. That Redskins rush was not great after Fitzpatrick came into the ballgame.
I agree, because he got the ball out of his hand. He climbed the pocket. He never really escaped. He never got outside of the tackle box. He climbed the pocket. He took his steps, stepped into his throw, and got the ball out of his hand. So is this the difference of a veteran quarterback?
No, it's absolutely the difference. And you don't really pay attention to those little things of his release. The release point in terms of time is never the same. And I think when our defense gets really good, they'll realize why his release point isn't the same. When he sees soft zone coverage, that ball's coming out. He's going to make the throw. He sees a soft two and it's underneath. He'll take the 4 yard gain. He's not getting hit. Your defensive line is saying, huh, rush needs to adjust. And so I think when coverage and defense gets really good, they, like we always talk about, run and the play action has to marry and look the same. Like, your defensive line has to know that when you're playing a soft zone, that ball should come out. It should.
So, get your hand
so based
up.
On the quarterback, if Rosen's in, it's probably not going to come out. So we can really dynamically rush. If Fitzpatrick's in and you hear some form of two, which isn't that hard to understand, all these dudes play Madden, you have five coverage calls as a defense. Like, could we at least understand what the back end coverage is? When you hear some form of two, get your hands up. The ball's coming out. Or you hear, man, we got tight man-to-man. We got two pluggers in the field. And we got to trust that our guys are going to play tight man. Now we can rush a little bit differently. So you marry the rush to the back end. And we have not, just so we're clear, we have not figured out how to do that just yet.
But you know what? You just gave me an entire segment on why I don't want Dwayne Haskins on the field right now, which I think is great for fans to understand, because you were explaining Fitzpatrick, and that's what I look at Haskins. Although Haskins has the tools, the understanding of the game, the learning curve to get the ball out, and the realization that every play isn't going to be a huge play. Sometimes you have to take 6 yards. You have to take 4 yards. Come underneath. That's why they're calling zone. When a team is in the zone, they're giving you this quick throw. On first and 10, hey, you know what? Now we're in second and five. And on second and five, hey, first and 10 again. Take that short throw. Everything doesn't have to be downfield, big play. Here it is. Now you're going to have your shots. You're going to have your moments in the game. But understanding of the game plan. This is always my biggest issue with teams. Understanding what you're trying to do and what you're trying to get out of a play. Certain plays are designed to say, hey, you know what? We want to get ourselves in second and seven so we could possibly call this play. Or we want to get to second and six so we could possibly call this play. So this play is designed to get us 4 yards. Now, if you get more than 4 yards, great job. But this play was only designed to get us to point A. Now, if you get to point B, then great job. So getting a full understanding of offense, which a lot of people doesn't do. A lot of players don't totally understand what you're looking for. Early on in the game, we saw Chris Thompson run a yard short on a route. Uncharacteristic of Chris Thompson.
It was a pick route by Chris Thompson. He was trying to pick for a seam for Terry McLaurin, and it's man-to-man coverage. And when you're running a pick route, you're not even really running a route, so all you really need to do is see where that marker is and say, after this pick, I have to get to this.
That's it. And having an understanding of the game, knowing where you're trying to get to, what you're trying to open up, or who you're trying to expose, because often you have a guy on that side of the ball who's either his eyes are going to get him in trouble, he's going to take chances, he's going to gamble, or he can't cover you. As you see, teams constantly attack our flats because we don't have anyone there. We don't have anyone who can get to those flats. Your DNs are definitely not going to get to the flats. If they're dropping back, they drop straight back. It's hard for them to get out there. So teams attack us. That's why you come with a quick screen, because this DN has to turn and retrace to get out to stop it. So having an understanding of what teams are trying to do against you and to you, and then you have an understanding offensively of what you're trying to do to that team.
No, I think it's really interesting, too, because if you look at as – someone watching the game, if you look at a run on first down and you get 3 yards, 4 yards, we say, that's a good run. Man, got downhill, got what he could get. That's a good run. We got second and seven, second and six. You look at a pass on first down and you see a little check down thrown on the flat and the running back kind of falls forward and you get 3 yards, like, that's a bad pass.
Yeah,
it's actually, I would actually be really interested, because coaches define plays as efficient or non-efficient plays. And if you get a 4 yard run, you're going to define it as efficient. And if you get a 4 yard check down, are you going to define it as efficient? Because on first down, all we really care about is the result of what the second down is. Now, maybe we expected a bigger play. Maybe we wanted a bigger play. But 4 yards is a really good play. In the NFL, 4 yards is a good play.
Well, I'm taking 4 yards on any play unless it's I need five and we're going to have to punt.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm first and second down. But it's funny because I think about it almost like you don't play a lot of golf, but you think about it as an average
golfer. How are you going to tell me
golfer.
I don't play golf? I do play a lot of golf.
I said you don't play a lot of golf.
Yes, I do.
How many rounds do you play here?
I don't play a lot of golf.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't invite
But you
me
think
out.
About it as an amateur golfer, and the more you think about it, it's like, how do I just eliminate the miss? Like, how do I can do well enough if I can just not make big mistakes. Like, hey, there's trees on the left and there's two fairways over on the right. So if I do hit it way right, at least I got a shot again. But like, that's the football side of it, is how do you just not get the bad play? Just survive the bad play, take the average play, and then you keep going. You want the best play. If I got trees on the left, two fairways on the right, tell me I don't want to hit it 280 yards down the middle. Of course I do. But I can't hit it in the trees or I'm done. And that's like, you can't take a big sack because you're dying to get that big shot down the field. Just get out of your hands. Boom, here, 4 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards. Or the boot stuff. Like, you don't have it, dump it at the back's feet. Second 10's better than second and 13, second and 15. Survive the bad play. I think Case did that fairly well a lot of the game. And I think he's capable of doing that. He had a couple really scary ones, though. He had a scary one, CP, in the third or the fourth quarter.
Where he threw the ball at the feet.
You're like, whoa, it was like, whoa, you didn't see two dolphins there?
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been.
He got it down. He had another one downfield that landed in front of two dolphins. So just in those situations where I totally agree. But as a veteran, for him to get that off, you know, I just don't see. everyone is always saying, when is Haskins going to get on the field? It's week six. It's week six. Keenum hasn't had a fair shot to me. Early, the first two games, I thought Keenum played decent, played well, actually. Third game against Chicago Bears, we weren't prepared for. Then all of a sudden he goes down, you get cold in, and giving Case a fair shot. I was having this conversation.
Let's be honest with the fact that Colt didn't get a fair shot either.
Agreed.
As much as you want to say Case didn't, neither did Colt.
Agreed, because he's playing the New England Patriots. You get one start.
In his first start with the guy that just got cleared for practice that week.
Yeah,
he hasn't practiced since July 28th, and now you're like, oh, yeah, well, we're benching you for performance reasons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't told he was benched for performance reasons, but we're benching you. Had he played great, he would have stayed in. So, yeah, he did get benched for performance reasons.
It's kind of tough to play great against the New England Patriots.
Helping people improve their lives is what should drive business. That's the belief at Koch Industries, which employs more than 65,000 people across America. The team at Koch works together to meet the world's changing needs in transportation, medical care, water filtration, household goods, energy-efficient building products, and everyday technologies, all while consuming fewer resources. See the innovations firsthand at KOCH. That's KochIndustries.com. The fantasy football season is right around the corner, and this season there are more ways to win than ever because FanDuel has more ways to win cash prizes and once-in-a-lifetime experiences during every single game, every single week. Never played FanDuel fantasy football before? Great, because new users get a $5 bonus with their first deposit. Sign up for FanDuel now and get $20 in total bonus. Just make your first deposit and get started. And you'll get an extra $5 insight credit every week for 4 weeks. Go to FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel app. Hi, it's Cooley for the only window company I use or recommend, Window Nation. Temperatures are changing fast and fall has arrived, which means cold weather. Preparation for the holidays and winterizing your home. Start with a project that will give you the most bang for your buck, new windows. Window Nation Windows will protect your home from the nasty winter weather while reducing your energy bills. Call Window Nation today and get two free windows for every two you buy. Buy four, get four free. There's no limit. Plus, for the next 2 weeks, no interest for 5 years. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
When you look, I was trying to break this situation down, and I said, you have Trent Williams, you have Jordan Reed, you have Alex Smith, who's probably about $35 to $40 million of your cap that has yet to touch the field. Then I said, you have Josh Norman, you have Ryan Kerrigan.
Vernon Davis. It's $5 million cap hit, has not played in a couple weeks.
So Vernon, and you look at those guys. And you say, out of all of those guys, I didn't include Vernon. I say, out of Josh and Kerrigan, that there's another $20 million for one sack. So
Kerrigan's playing a lot. So I know that you want to classify it as you're paying enough.
It's one sack.
I know what you're saying. It's $14 million cap for Kerrigan.
So if you break down those five guys, Kerrigan, Norman, Trent Williams, Jordan Reed, Alex Smith. What's the cap hit?
It's about 70.
$70 million for what? What's the performance side of those
guys? I can figure it out if you want to figure it out. No, it's look, you can't win if a third or more of your salary cap.
That's over half of your salary.
It's not, because it's $200 million.
Oh, salary cap 200?
Well, right now the Redskins.
It was 140.
No, buddy.
Salary cap 140 in the last year. Yeah. Wow. So yet and still, a third of your salary cap has given you one sack. Morgan Moses, Brandon Sheriff, gives you no stats.
You got to have an offensive line.
You do.
You can't just. You're gonna have to pay Brandon Sheriff, and Morgan Moses is a guy that you did pay.
So that you takes just, it up to
you
what?
Just you just can't have. And look, it wasn't Alex's fault, and Alex is going to try to come back and play. It's not the Redskins' fault necessarily. You get an older quarterback, so you know. But it's not Alex's fault that that cap hit's so massive and he's not playing. He wants to play. He didn't want to break his leg in 25
pieces. I totally agree.
You can't lose $70 million in cap space in 1 year to guys that aren't really playing. And
that was the only point I was trying to make.
You're making a valid point.
Why these guys aren't here is just the fact that this is what you're getting out of.
I mean, I'll make another point for some of these things, and I'll make a point for Josh Norman. And when you signed him 4 years ago, I'm sure you expected to play him in a certain way. But he is his own corner. He was his own corner. He played zone at Carolina. He had his performance because he played zone and played to his help and played with vision to the quarterback. And now you're going to play predominantly man-to-man coverage. And Josh would probably love to be a lockdown man-to-man corner. Everyone in the world would love him to be, every Redskins fan would love to be a lockdown man-to-man corner. But that's not what Josh is. So one of your highest paid cap guys is a zone corner and you don't want to play zone with.
When I watch Josh Norman, right, and I would like to say Josh is a buddy of mine.
Me too. I love Josh. I talk to him almost every day, try to encourage him.
When I'm watching Josh, I just don't see the same edge from Carolina. In Carolina, Josh knew he was going to be called upon. It was like, I want the best guy. I want to be put in this situation. Sure. I'm going to talk noise to any receiver because I'm trying to reach a pinnacle or I'm trying to reach a elite status to say I'm that guy. Ever since they took, what was it, the Bourne Arrow and the bat? He was walking around with the bat, right? Ever since they took it away, Josh is kind of one of those guys. I think he needs to be involved in something to get the best out of him.
Sure.
When you're watching Josh Norman, who I see bailing constantly, it's 3rd and 6, he's in bail. 3rd and 3, he's in bail. Why are you bailing? Where are you going? And
well, a lot of times he's trying to play man-to-man with bail technique.
Why? It's 3rd and 3.
Well, the disrupt answer to why you would continue to do that is essentially CP. Answer it. Why would you bail instead of play tight press if you're in man?
Yeah, but
because you didn't trust it.
Yeah, but because you don't trust your speed. That's obviously what it is. If it's 3rd and 3, a speed out or a quick out, you're beat. You're beat. So instead of bailing, why not disrupt the route? You know, get up and jam. He's a big corner. Get up and jam this guy. Press this guy and get off of it. Go back to zone. We have to put our players in, and this is 4 years, as you just stated. In 4 years, you haven't learned what we're calling, what we're doing doesn't best suit him to get the best out of him. So I need, as a defensive coordinator, as a cornerbacks coach, as a DB coach, I need to have some kind of voice to say, you know what? This isn't who Josh is. You got Ray Horn, who was on that same staff, who saw the success and growth of Josh Norman. I live in Charlotte. When they benched Josh Norman and everybody wanted him out of Charlotte, and then all of a sudden he turns it to the top corner in the NFL, one of the best corners in the NFL. To see that growth, you got Ray Horton on this staff. You got some defensive-minded coaches, some guys who've been D coordinators, who's had an effect on good defenses over the years. Converse. Let your voice be heard. Say something. Hey, you know what? I'm fighting to put my best corner in a situation that's suitable for him. I don't care if they know. You know what? Dunbar is excelling in man-to-man coverage. When you line up, Dunbar playing man, Josh is playing zone. I don't care how you look at it. We don't have to try to fool you.
Yeah, and then when you do that, you're going to have to trust the rest of the players to be able to make those adjustments, and that does make it tougher, but I'm going to trust the rest of the players to have to make those adjustments. You realize that the strength of this team is the couple defensive tackles getting pushed up front and your belief in a 4-to-5-man pressure with your front five, because that's where you've essentially put all your money. And so to me, if you're going to play man, you're hoping that you're giving them a half a second more to get time to get to the quarterback because you're playing tight man. So the way I look at it is if you're not going to play tight man, you're going to play soft man, you may as well not play man. Unless you want to play tight man and try to get that extra half a second to get John Allen, Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis, Frank Kerrigan, Montez
Sweat.
Just
disrupt the route, man.
Yeah, so if you don't disrupt those routes, you may as well just play the straight zone across the board. And so there's that. There's also the man-to-man holding issues that they've had, or illegal contact issues. Like Fabian gets at least one a game. Josh seems to get at least one a game.
Yeah, but it's downfield that they're trying to reroute. Get on the line of scrimmage and reroute within 5 yards.
They're waiting and then they're grabbing.
Yeah, like you're already lined up at 7 yards, and then by the time the receiver gets to you, you stick your hand out. That's a penalty. Get up in his face, jam him, reroute him from the line of scrimmage. And then trust yourself, trust your instincts, trust your speed. Like Fabian, what's the cornerback we got? Jimmy Moreland, I felt, had a really good preseason. He's been MIA.
I think, to be honest, I think Jimmy struggled a little bit. I did get a chance to meet Jimmy's mom at the game. She was awesome, man. I like Jimmy Moreland's going to be a good player.
He will be.
I'm going to stand by that.
He will be.
Yeah, I think that there's – by the way, the cap number for this year is 188.2. The numbers we were trying to figure out is a total of $62 million. So it was 31%. I was off by 2% on that.
A third. So that's a third of your cap.
A third of your cap.
Allocated to
– need. Well, let's label that under the need to get more out of category. Is that fair enough? Need to get more out of category.
I would totally agree.
But the teams that win, your top – five cap numbers are your five best players.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's really it is. When you go and pay somebody and pay them a lot of money, they have to be your best players.
Exactly.
That's essentially what it is. So you don't have the performance out of the top end of your cap. And you know, it's tough for Alex to have done that. And that's the biggest number. That's almost $20 million. You can't cut Alex. It would have been like $40 million in dead cap space. That would have been an absolutely massive hit. It's $30 million if you were to cut him next year, so it's still a massive hit. I think they expect Alex to come back and at least give an attempt to play, which does, by the way, make the Dwayne thing a little bit interesting.
Very interesting.
If you think Alex can play and you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, this team was 6-3 last year. This team was in first place in the NFC East with Alex Smith. Do you throw Dwayne in? Can you pull him at the end of the year to put Alex back in? Think about that. I don't know if Alex is going to come back or not. What everyone knows is that Alex is one of the hardest workers. He's a great teammate. He's around. He's part of it. He's going to the games. I think that if you're retiring, CP,
you're not doing
all of that.
Yeah.
To me, if I'm retiring, I'm in and out getting treatment here and there, but I'm not participating as a member of this team like Alex has been. I'm not committed to trying to get back on the field as soon as possible, and that's what I've seen in Alex. And that's, by the way, that's what I would have done. That's what I would expect someone to do. That's what I think Alex is. He believes in himself as a player, but it does make it interesting. Is if you really thought you were that good with Alex Smith and he's the guy, and Case Keenum's here for this year, right? He was a bridge guy. You made the one trade, which was essentially nothing. You get Case for a year. His deal's done at the end of the year. You think you're going to get Alex back? When you start playing Dwayne Haskins, I'm going to stand by this statement. When you start really starting Dwayne Haskins, you're starting him. You're not benching him for Alex Smith next year. So as I really think about it, it's like maybe that's one of those things where you say, look, Dwayne's going to learn. Dwayne's going to continue to learn. He's going to continue to grow. And it might be like an Aaron Rodgers situation where Alex is the guy that we expect to play next year. And Dwayne will continue to grow under Alex next year. And in that instance, if you really believed it in that fashion, then you don't have to find out what you have in Dwayne right this moment. You are letting him grow. My thing with Dwayne, and I think he's absolutely great. I really have had, I'm really starting to have a good friendship with Dwayne, with who he is as a guy. I've got to spend time with him. Anyone that's not playing is going to be frustrated. But if you really want to grow, if you're Dwayne Haskins right now, you know what your job is? Memorize every defensive front. Memorize every back end coverage. Look at the rotation. See what things are. In my analogy, and I don't know, I think I've said this on the podcast. If I haven't said it on the podcast, this is my simplest analogy. You can come up with one if you want. When you first start playing blackjack and those numbers get dealt to you, you count them up. You add them up. You get a 7 and 6. If I go with my wife, it's a 7 and 6, and she has to sit there and go, okay, 7, 6, 13. And then the next card, 4. Okay, 7, 6, 4. Okay, we got 17. What do I want to hit? What do I want to do here? It's a decision that you're not. And then you're seeing the dealer's cards, and you're like, 7, 6. They have 7, 6, 3. You got a 16. They got a 10 showing. Now what do I do? Like, for me, playing blackjack that much, there isn't even the numbers just become one number. It doesn't matter how many cards are on the table. And the dealer's cards dictate exactly what I'm doing in that instance. I just see it and feel it. So if you think of it in that fashion, I think of Dwayne right now until you really learn defense. By the way, no quarterbacks in college do, especially ones that play only 1 year. And they don't do as much with the front, the checks, the protection, all this stuff. He's got to go to the line of scrimmage, and he's got to add cards. He's got to do the math instead of just having the numbers appear in his head. So to me, you want to get Dwayne ready to play. It's this crash course for a year, 2 years in just defense. Just defense. You're going to get an understanding of your scheme, of all your stuff. That's obviously a huge part of it. But we're going to tailor our scheme to Dwayne. But until he can see defense, like, it just is in front of him and it appears as, I know what this is. Because that's what good quarterbacks do.
That's what Deshaun Watson is doing. He's having an MVP caliber season and playing at such a high level. But he's, you know, I listened to some of the stuff Deshaun Watson had to say about his play call, and it immediately reminded me of Coach McVay. It immediately reminded me, because he was dissecting, and it was like, what happened? And he was like, yeah, two safeties in the corners and in the linebacker and the shades of the D lineman, and this guy was here.
Right.
So I immediately knew to look over the top, or let me carry this guy over, and I got a guy coming back. It was immediate. And that's the conversation I want to have from my quarterback. When he can explain the game thorough to say, you know what, right here I messed up because I should have got this guy to lean because I knew I had this route coming behind it, or maybe I should have pump fake or hitch or let the ball go so he can run under it. Whatever it is, I want my quarterback to know this every play. Instead of sitting like with the deer eyes and trying to get you
to count it.
Yeah.
Having to take inventory individually. See, and that's what I think a lot of young quarterbacks have to do, is they have to take an individual inventory, an individual account. They have to go like, D end here, tackle here, tackle here, tackle here. Linebacker in this position, linebacker in this position. Okay, I fill the front. Now this is an under front. Okay, we're good. We've got an under front. Now what coverage do we have beyond the under front? Okay, where is the safety rotation? Instead of just going, walk to the line of scrimmage and go, that's an under front, boom. And, oh, by the way, when they play under front, they play middle of the field closed 78% of the time. Where's the safety? Middle of the field. Yeah, under front, middle of the field closed. Here we go. We got man of cover 3. I know the front. I know where we're going. It just has to happen like boom, 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 boom for a quarterback to see the defense and to see what they have going on. You and I didn't have to have it that way. You know, I really tried to learn it as my career went on, and understanding like, hey, this is a team, when they play two high safeties, you're never going to need any blitz. So I don't have to worry about any sights. I don't have to worry about any hots. I know they got two high safeties. I either have two or two man or some form of quarters. Like, here we go. Let's run based on middle of field close type of deal. Like, in the tight end world, we and I talked about one of the first bootlegs of the Miami Dolphins game. Jeremy Sprinkle's running a deep corner. The Dolphins, who rarely play any form of cover two, rotate to cover two. It's a clear and easy rotation. If you're a tight end, you see it's off two. Like, you should just, it just happen. You're like, I got a boot corner. If I run into the soft two corner, I'm just covered. So it should just become an immediate hookup. It's an every player deal. Other positions just don't have to see the defense in the same way. Like, if I'm a tight end, I don't give two craps what the front is when I'm running a boot, right? Is it man or is it zone? And what form of zone might it be? How can I make myself available to the quarterback?
So for me as a running back, it was totally different, because I need to know the front. I need to know where the safeties were coming from. That was my first identity. Let me identify these safeties, because they're going to tell. If this team is supposed to be lined up a certain kind of way and one guy is out of position, I know something is fishy. This is how they normally line up. He's shaded. He's over too much, or he's up too close to the line, so they're doing something tricky. Now I can take my eyes to his other safety to see if he's looking to rotate over, where's the help coming from? You know, who's going to have to replace this guy because he's coming? And do I have to pick up this guy? And even if I don't have to pick up this guy, is my guy paying enough attention to see the same thing that I see? So I'm going to take this check step just in case I have to help. And when you identify that, another point you made in man and zone, right? In man and zone, Hey, if it was on, you sit down. If it's man, you keep it moving. There's no time that you've ever seen a man route, and I mean a zone route, and you keep it moving. You're just
you
running
just
into another window.
You randomly drifted into
yeah,
it.
You're running
but,
into
but you're essentially
window.
Saying, like, I don't feel like I can get the ball here, so I'll just keep drifting. It's kind of like one of those things. Like, I saw this the other day, and I liked it. It's this, like, before you win the fight, you have to be in the fight. And without understanding what they're trying to do to you, you're not really in the fight. You're really not. You're just out there. You got to be in it. You got to know. You got to have a sense. You got to have a feel for it. And you got to, by the way, as a team, as a coaching staff, as an organization, you have to get, you have to have those guys, and you have to commit to telling them, like, we're not going to stop at anything less than understanding all of it. We're not going to quit until we believe that you can do anything we ask you to do. That's why the Patriots are so good. That's why there are so many teams that can do so many versatile things offensively. To me, that's when this Redskins offense becomes good, is when they become way more versatile. It's when Terry McLaurin starts running, you start trusting to run more of the inside stuff, and you start creating a lot of inside motion and movement to get guys like Terry McLaurin the ball. It's when you have a feel for, you know, how you get your tight ends open in certain situations. It's so many things that I actually think this team can do. Like, I look at this, and I think there's a real platform, an atmosphere, a reset to create winning, right? I think they have enough. You have to commit to your players, and you have to believe in them, and you have to continue to build, and you have to know how to build the right way. But there's not a lot of problems in this. Like, that's what happens when you say this culture is damn good. The guys believe in each other. They want to win. They want to work. They want to work. But you have to put it on them. Lay that work on them, baby. Hey, let me take a second here, CP, and give you some DC travel wisdom. Good things come to those who don't wait for a connecting flight. Dulles offers nonstop flights to 45% more destinations than any airport in the region, so you don't have to wait. The grass is always greener on both sides of the Dulles Access Highway, where you can fly past traffic to the airport. Find out how else you can travel wisely at flydulles.com/wise. Whether on the field or in the classroom, the Washington Redskins believe learning should be fun. That's why we've partnered with the youth entrepreneurs to bring their engaging, hands-on style of learning to classrooms in the D.C. metro area. Youth Entrepreneurs curriculum was created by educators for educators. That means it's flexible, fun, and absolutely free. To learn more about Youth Entrepreneurs and how to experience it for yourself, visit getye.org. Did you know, Clinton, that 75 tons of game day trash and recyclables need to find a home? They're homeless. So when the final whistle blows, our team hits the field, the trash team, baby. As an official partner of the Washington Redskins, RTS is connecting FedEx Field with smarter waste solutions to ensure a more sustainable and responsible approach to what's left behind at the end of the game. RTS, a better waste company. Find out more at RTS.com. How good are the 49ers?
Really, really, really good. It's crazy how they flipped that organization in 2 years.
Three
years. But I wasn't counting this year because they're
oh, you don't know
winning.
Yet?
No, I'm saying they're
oh, yeah.
actually
you,
winning.
The two down years and building the guys that you want and the philosophy and style of play that you want to have as a coach and, you know, getting the kinds of players that do your kinds of things.
When you go out and you find that, and then having Kyle Shanahan come back, you know, and we both know Kyle. So, you know, he's licking his chops. This is personal to him. This will forever be personal to him. I don't care how he shake hands and speak to everybody on the staff. And, hey, you know, the small talk, whatever it is. He's coming in saying, we want those guys to quit. We want to make these guys quit. We want to embarrass these guys. We want to make this our stadium. I have something to prove. And maybe he stands up and say that. Like, I have something to prove. This isn't even about you guys. You're just going to go out and execute. But I'm putting a little extra on this game plan, right? I got some trickeration coming. I want to beat these guys. every possible way. I'm going to run the ball down their throat. I'm going to throw the ball over their head. I'm going to give you a flea flicker and do something else extra to come out when we leave for the world to put the entire NFL on notice that we mean business.
So I was thinking about this on the trip home, and I had this initial thought, you know, there's always like, the Alabama effect in college football, the Clemson effect, is you play Alabama, and especially if you were to get a win, it's like that natural letdown spot. Even if you play Alabama, they beat the heck out of you through the game. The next week's tough. You've put everything into the preparation for the game. And I was thinking that that's exactly what the 49ers did in getting ready to play the Rams. They put everything into that game, and they just had a huge emotional win where they can pound their chest a little bit and say, we beat the Rams. And we beat them, man. We beat the Rams. We held Goff to less than 100 yards passing. We did what we wanted to do in that ball game. Our defense is awesome. All those things. And you think, man, now you got a team who has to travel across the country to play an early game, which is essentially a 10 o'clock game for them. And you're playing the Redskins, who are 1-5. You know, you're going to play a team who you just know you can beat. And all those things are set up for the Redskins to have some opportunities to surprise people. And then I realized the Kyle Shanahan effect. And then I realized when I sat in meetings for 4 years and listened to Kyle Shanahan install and talk about, you know, his passion for a game and his passion for beating certain people. And I thought to myself, there's no letdown. There will be no letdown this week. This will be, I would guess, the hardest the San Francisco 49ers will play all year, because Kyle will instill it in them just how bad he wants to win this game. And by just how many points he wants to win this game, and just how much he wants to try to laugh on the plane home. And CP, you know as well as I do, that an undefeated team who's really started to develop a philosophy and a chemistry believes in their head coach. And they'll run through a wall for that guy. By the way, they have a GM who has never been a GM before in this league. Former player, doing a pretty good job.
Pretty good job. And by the way, they have a running backs coach that was my running back coach that has two running backs playing at a really high level. So he's doing a pretty good job. Shout out to Bobby T.
What's up, Bobby T? Who has been in this game for about 300 years.
He's a dinosaur. He has no butt left to be chewed off. That's what, that was Bobby T's statement. CP, I'm working my butt off trying to coach you.
Oh, it's so funny, because I did that film breakdown on the radio for 5 years, and I was, everyone said I was so hard on players, and, oh, how could you grade so-and-so this? Nobody in the history of football has ever graded harder than Bobby Turner. My last year, actually the year before I got cut, we played Dallas, and I played a lot of running back that game. We had a fullback. I was the third down jet protection back. I don't know. I can't remember particularly why, but I was in on third downs as the sole running back in the backfield, which I thought they should have handed the ball off to me a few more times. But I played literally one of the best games I have ever played, at least in terms of responsibilities, understanding a game plan from a different position entirely. Like, I left that game and I was like, that was all. I mean, I'm 8 years into the league. I know when I play well and I don't play well. Bobby Turner graded me at a 52%. He's hard on those dudes, man. 52%. That's an F. That's an F. But on the Bobby Turner curve, that's an A+, isn't it?
Hey, Bobby T is tough, man. But one of the best coaches I've ever been around. Good man. So you got a lot of guys that's coming in that has something tied to this organization. And, you know, I can just see Bobby T now at 5-0 or at 6-0, which the 49ers are. When you look at the 2 years of struggle, Bobby T was probably in the building and pacing back and forth, and he's exhausted.
He probably wore two sweatshirts to practice.
Even when he didn't have to. They say, Bobby T, go home and get some sleep. Nah, I'm going to watch more film.
Bobby T, it's going to be really hot out of practice today. Good, I'm going to put another jacket on. He never didn't wear two. He never didn't wear, like, a full sweatsuit to practice.
That's my man, Bobby T. So, for Redskins Roundup, myself, Chris Cooley, man, appreciate you all listening. Catch us next week. We're at it again.
No, we're at it again this week because you just told me at the beginning of this podcast you were coming back on Wednesday and Friday.
I'll be here on Wednesday.
Lack of commitment. Bobby T did not rub off. Make sure you stick around, though. We have a Redskins Park update coming for you.
Your heart works hard, and sometimes its parts need repair. That's what we do at Inova's Structural Heart Program in Fairfax. With outcomes that exceed the national average, we're a leader in both minimally invasive repair techniques and surgery to address heart valve disease. Give your heart the benefit of care from Inova Heart and Vascular Institute. Find an Inova physician by visiting InnovaHeart.org/valve. Inova. Join the future of health.
At Coke, our 67,000 U.S. employees make things that make your game days better, like fertilizer for greener turf and stronger paper products for tailgating. Viewing the game from your couch? Coke also makes the electronic components and TVs and smart devices so you can watch your Redskins victory anywhere. Coke. We make that. See it all at kochmakesthat.com. That's kochmakesthat.com.
Time to tailgate. We have my Honda CRV with class-leading cargo space so I can bring the grill. Cousin Bobby's Honda Pilot with seating for eight. And my brother's Honda Ridgeline loaded with fun features like in-bed speakers and an in-bed trunk. Nothing left to do now but sit back and wait for kickoff. Who wants a hot dog?
Get more this season with a great deal on a new Honda, perfect for tailgating. See your local Honda dealer today.
In a world full of lines, lines for everything. Ugh. Nails that incapacitate you till they dry. Red lights, so many lights.
Ah, for the love of...
Coffee that drips at the speed of molasses. And seasons that just won't change.
Ball, where you at?
In a world full of waiting, we've put our proverbial foot down. We give you the print and play rolling jackpot from the Virginia Lottery. Starting at 50K and rolling, and you can win it, that's right, instantly. But you will have to wait for the odds. Odds of winning top prize, 1 in 240,000.
Hi, this is Larry Michael with a Redskins Park update. The team back on the practice field on Wednesday, getting set to host the San Francisco 49ers Sunday at FedEx Field, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Niners 5-0, coming off a big win over the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. The Redskins in the win column, getting their first win of the season, victorious in Miami on Sunday, 17-16. A special weekend for Redskins Nation. It is alumni homecoming weekend. All kinds of festivities for some of the greats to ever wear the burgundy and gold. Saturday, 3 o'clock at National Harbor, it is a fantennial Redskins alumni rally. Joe Jacoby, Jeff Bostic, Chris Cooley, Doc Walker, a host of Redskins greats will be there to meet the fans, absolutely free to attend at National Harbor, 3 o'clock on Saturday. And on Sunday, prior to kickoff, all the alums in attendance will be introduced, including a special presentation to number 9. Hall of Famer Sonny Jurgensen returns to FedEx Field for the first time since announcing his retirement from the broadcast booth this past Sunday. So, if you're coming to the game on Sunday, get there early. Make sure Sonny feels the love on Sunday. The presentation should take place sometime around 12:45. That's today's Redskins Park update.